We'll turn your Bibles this morning to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24. We'll be reading just two verses this morning, verses 14 and 15. And if you're just getting familiar with your Bible, Joshua, towards the beginning of the Bible, there's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Then you'll come to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. If you found that, if you please stand in honor of reading of God's Word this morning. Joshua chapter 24, I'll read verse 14 if you'll join with me on verse 15 of Joshua chapter 24. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again the opportunity we have to open up the Bible this morning and read from it. Lord, we do pray that you bless the speaker, the message that's coming in just a little bit. Lord, prepare our hearts. May we put aside things that may be on our mind to listen to what the man of God has for us. The Holy Spirit will do its work. In your name we pray. Amen.
Some people say this old-time religion is just a thing of the past. But in this modern age that we're living, it's the only thing that will last. Now you may think I'm a little old-fashioned, but friend, that's all right with me. I'm so glad that I am a Christian, and from sin I have been set free. I know, there's no doubt about it. He lives in my heart, and I'm gonna shout it. I know, my sins are forgiven, and I'm on my way to a place that's called heaven. Years ago, in an old-fashioned altar, I knelt on my knees there in prayer. He lifted my burdens and shackles fell from me, and His presence was real everywhere. Now that the load I carried is lighter, I changed my gray skies to blue. My steps are now higher, for I have His assurance that His sweet love will carry me through. I know, there's no doubt about it. He lives in my heart, and I'm gonna shout it. I know, my sins are forgiven, and I'm on my way to a place that's called heaven. Come go with me to a land over yonder. He's prepared for the pure and the true. It's a place where sickness and death cannot enter. I'm going, friend, what about you? Maybe today or maybe tomorrow He'll return in robes of pure white. I'm packing up now, getting my things together. Who knows, it may come tonight. I know, there's no doubt about it. He lives in my heart, and I'm gonna shout. I know, my sins are forgiven, and I'm on my way to a place that's called heaven. I know, there's no doubt about it. He lives in my heart, and I'm gonna shout it. I know, and I'm on my way to a place that's called heaven.
Found a good song this morning. Amen. Now we're going to speak on the heart that pleases today. The heart that pleases. And I'm going to preach out of this passage in Joshua 24. So that's the title. You'll see it in a little bit. The heart that pleases. You say, where is it in here? We'll get to it in just a moment. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless us today in these moments. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for that place called heaven. Thank you for the assurance in our hearts that we are going there through the shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. There might be somebody here today who, Lord, is not saved. They've never come to Christ in repentance and faith, trusted Him. His death, burial, and resurrection for their salvation, their eternal life. Would you please speak to that heart this morning? And then, Lord, for those who are saved, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts as well. Help us to have a heart that pleases you. I need your help to preach on this, clarity of thought. And, Lord, not just words, but words that have power. Not just volume necessarily, but power that speaks to the heart. That must be done by the Holy Spirit of God. So help me this morning. Please, dear Spirit, I give myself to you. Speak now, I pray in Christ's name. And amen. If you've been in these services in the month of March, you know I've been preaching on the subject of the heart. Now, again, not the organ located in our chest cavity, but the heart as defined in the Bible, the core of a person, the inner person that each of us is, that part of us that thinks. Now, you say, well, that's the mind. Yeah, but according to the Bible, that's a part of our heart. Our thoughts, that part of us that feels, that part of us that chooses, our minds, our emotions, our will. We make decisions and choices with our will. Now, you might think, I don't see the word heart in either of these verses that we read, verses 14 and 15. But friend, you don't have to read the word heart to learn about the heart from a particular passage. You don't have to read the word heart in a verse to see it on display. And the heart of Joshua in verses 14 and 15 is in play here. It's on display for us in this story. Now let me bring you up to the setting. The land of Canaan has been settled. For the most part, it's been conquered. And Joshua has been that tremendous captain that oversaw the conquering of the land, the distribution of the land. He's 110 years old now, and he is soon to die. And in this chapter, he's giving his final speech. At the close of this chapter, Joshua passes away. In these verses, he's giving his final speech to the children of Israel. So here is the heart of Joshua on display. Look in verse number 15. He says, you know, you need to choose this day whom ye will serve. And then he makes some statements. And then at the closing of the verse, he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, folks, right there is Joshua's heart. Right there, his heart is on display. Right there, his heart is exposed. Okay? There is the heart. He's thought about it. Possibly had experienced some emotions, some feelings about it. And now here is his choice. Here is his choice. The exercise of the will. The exercise of decision. The exercise here. He has made his decision. He's made his choice. He's exercised his will. Now I'm sure that the thoughts and the feelings played into it and possibly contributed to his choice. And he says here, here's my choice. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You say, now, how do you see heart in that? That's a result of his choice. That's a result of the heart. Let me ask you a question. How did you end up with the vehicle you drive? Now, for some, it may be that somebody just gave it to you, okay? And you really didn't have a choice in the matter. It's what you were given. And that happens in life. But you know, if you are driving a vehicle by choice this morning, it was a matter of your heart. You thought about it, heart as defined by the Bible. You thought about it. Maybe there was some emotion that played into it. I like the way that car looks. I like the color. I like the style. I like the way it handles. It feels good. So you're thinking and your feelings, and then you make the, you know, I got this pickup truck out here. It's a General Motors product. You heard me say that I thought the Ford pickups were very nice looking, and they were enticing. I was tempted to sin, but I overcame, amen, and fought it off. And I just thought about it, and I said, man, that's a good-looking truck. But I thought about my dad going to General Motors for all those years. I thought about all the pinto beans and fried chicken and mashed potatoes and gravy and biscuits that he put on my table for all those years. And the emotions of it played in, and I ended up with a General Motors product out there. The result of a choice. And the right, excuse me, I'm going to go there, all right? The result of a choice. How did you come to, what about the last place you ate out? Now, for some of you ladies, you're having to calculate how many years that's been. Let's see, 2013, don't know. I hope not, okay? But how about the last place you went for dinner somewhere? It was the, unless you just were in a tight and had to have something, and that's when you drive by White Castle, see? And, you know, you do, I don't. I haven't been to this White Castle. Don't plan on going to this White Castle. You couldn't give me, if you give me a gift card, I'll give it to Brother Bragg, okay? But anyway, going to White Castle, you go to White Castle, Brother? You don't go to White Castle either. Who goes to White Castle out here? Anybody go to White Castle? Nobody wants to, oh, a few, okay, all right, so, yeah. All right, so, you know, but, you know, you thought, let's, what you want to eat? Let's eat. You thought about it, and you said, I feel like Mexican, or I feel like Chinese, or I feel like, you know, old-fashioned food like Cracker Barrel. It was the result of a choice, but, you know, whether you realize it or not, your heart's involved in that, as defined by the Bible. Your thinking, your feelings, your choices, all of that makes up the inner core person of each one of us. Now, folks, look at it. When Joshua said here, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That was his core person. That was his thoughts. That was his emotions, his feelings. That was his will being exercised. Come on, think about it. In life, lots and lots of decisions, choices. Lots of things are the result of I will, right? A declaration of our will, a declaration of my will, a declaration of your will, choosing. That's all a part of the heart. And when Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, it was with his heart. His heart was all over that. His heart was in that. A choice to serve God with his family. That is his heart on display. Now, let me give you three thoughts this morning about this matter of the heart that pleases. And this matter of choosing, being a part of the makeup of the heart, the thought processes, and the feelings, and the will. Let me say this, number one, this morning. Listen carefully. A choice means there was an alternative. A choice means there was an alternative. So Joshua says to these people in verse 15, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, Jehovah God is my choice. That's our choice. And by the way, folks, there were other choices, and Joshua even talked about it. In verse number 2, look at verse number 2, chapter 24. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Stop there. Now look back at verse number 15. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood. Stop right there. So that's one choice they had. The God of their ancestors, the Chaldeans, which dates back to Abraham's day, the father of Abraham, Terah, the father of Abraham's brother, Nahor. And those were gods in Chaldea that they worshipped on the other side of the flood. Now, wait a minute. This is not the Genesis 6 flood. This is a different flood. There are many floods in the Bible, okay? This is not Genesis 6 flood. This is before God called Abraham out of the land of Chaldea, the Ur of the Chaldees. And Joshua said, you can go back and you can serve the gods of your forefathers that Abraham's daddy served in Chaldea. And then he said, look at verse number 14. He said, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood. And in Egypt, so he said, you could serve the gods of the Egyptians, the god of the oppressors. You could serve the god of the ancestors. You could serve the gods of the oppressors. You know, when the children of Israel were down in Egypt, you remember what they worshipped down there? The cows and the beasts. They're pantheists, if you will. And they worshipped, remember when Israel built the golden calf out in the wilderness there, coming out of Egypt? So there was the gods of Egypt, idolatry. He said, now Joshua said, okay, you can go back as far as your ancestors in the land of Chaldea and worship the gods they worship, serve them. Or you can go back to the land of Egypt and all the idolatry of the land of Egypt, and you can make yourself idols and you can serve and worship them. And then he said, look at the end of verse 15 again now, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. Now they're in the land of Canaan. The Amorites lived there before the Israelites. And the Amorites were idolatrous people, and they worshipped idols, base idols. So, here's what Joshua said. He said, now you got a choice. You can go back and choose the gods of your ancestors. You can go back and you can choose the gods of the oppressors. You can go back and you can choose the gods of the inhabitants, the Ammonites who lived in the land that you now live in. You can choose from all of those gods. Immediate history, previous history, ancient or dated history. You got a choice, children of Israel. You could go back and serve any of those gods. You have lots of choices for worship and lots of choices for service and lots of gods to choose from. By the way, so did Joshua. He was a Hebrew. Abraham was his father. Sure. He came out of Egypt. He was born in Egypt. And he was now living in the land of Canaan. He had seen the inhabitants of the land of Canaan. So Joshua had choices. Watch me. Joshua had choices from immediate history. Joshua had choices from previous history. And Joshua had choices from dated history. He had the same choices the rest of the children of Israel did. Here's your choices. Serve any of those gods that you want to serve. And then he said, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve Jehovah God. Now watch it, folks. His choice to serve Jehovah God meant that he chose not to serve and worship the others. He chose not to serve them. The Lord God, Jehovah God, when you see the word Lord or the name Lord at the end of verse number 15, it's all in uppercase letters. That's the Hebrew name for God, Jehovah. Jehovah God, the God of Israel. Joshua said, I'm not serving the gods of the inhabitants of the land of Canaan that were here before us. I'm not serving the gods of our previous past that were in the land of Egypt. I'm not serving the gods from our ancestors back as far as Abraham. I'm not serving any of them. I have chosen. I have thought about it. I have thought about it, how I feel about it. My choice is to serve the one Lord God, Jehovah God of Israel. And when he said that, folks, he was saying no to all the other alternatives. Now look, you and I have alternatives today. There are many choices to decide among who we're going to serve and we're going to worship. You know the one God that's probably the most oft-chosen God? Yeah, somebody said it. It's self. Self-God. And I'm not going there this morning. I'm not even going to preach on that. I'm sticking with the fact that a choice means there was an alternative. For Joshua, the gods of the ancestors and the gods of the oppressors and the gods of the inhabitants, they all lost out to the Lord God Jehovah. By the way, you have to decide. So I just don't want to make a choice in my life. No, no, no. Nobody is exempt from this choice. Everybody has to choose which God you're going to serve. Because, hey, whether you know it or not, mankind was created to serve and worship some God. Serve and worship some God. So nobody is exempt. Everybody has to choose. And if you don't choose by default, you're serving some God. There has to be a choice. Watch me. And a choice means somebody else is left out. Right? A choice means there's an alternative. Now, number two. It was pleasing to God to be Joshua's choice. It was pleasing to God to be Joshua's choice. When he stood up in front of these people and he said, now you can serve whoever you want to serve. Here's your choice. Recent, immediate history, previous history, ancient history. You got all these choices, but I've already made mine. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Don't you know that God was pleased to hear Joshua verbalize that Jehovah God was his choice? He had to be pleased. You say, how do you know he was pleased? Because you and I are created in the image of God. And when you're somebody's choice for something good and right, does it please you? You know, I went to Bible college in 1976 and just been saved for not even a year when I went to Bible college. And Mike had told me, you know, in preparation to going to Bible college, he said, now, listen, he said, if I were you, I wouldn't jump into dating in the first little while. He said, in fact, I would give it 6 months before I had a date. And I would just get used to going to school again and get in the habit of studying because I'd been out of school for over a year. And he said, you just really want to concentrate on your studies and your schedule. So I wouldn't even think about the girls for 6 months. I thought that was a pretty good suggestion, and I made it for four. Amen. So that's about two-thirds of the way. That's pretty good. And I never forget on that Sunday morning in December of 1976 when Bruce Butler, standing at the bus barn there, told me that that pretty girl that I sat next to in Old Testament survey had an interest in me. I never forget that. I was talking to him about how nice this girl was. That girl was a girl by the name of Joyce Christner. She's sitting right down here. And now been my wife for almost 35 years. And I remember how I felt when he told me, she thinks you're a nice guy. Whoa. Man. Zing. Because I thought she was a pretty nice girl. But she was a Yankee. I didn't know if that was going to work or not. Amen. But anyway, you won't say amen because you're on her side. You're with her this morning. So, but I remember how we met at the beginning of 1977 on the first day of the first day of that calendar year 1977, and then we started to talk and we started to court a little bit and date and there at the school, and that day came where she told me that she loved me, and to realize that I was her choice. Look, all six of my kids have gotten the yearbooks out from 1976, 77, and have asked their mother, how did you end up with him? And I'm not kidding. What did you see in him? What? All I can tell you, folks, is what can I say? I can't wait for tomorrow. I'll get better looking every day. Amen. So that's all I can say. That's not true either. I greet great Chris this morning. She said, boy, you got a lot of snow on the chimney. I thought she was talking about it snowed a lot this winter. She's talking about my hair. Amen. So I look at the yearbook and I think the same thing. What is she? I don't know what she saw. She had to be blind, honestly, or hard up for a date. I don't know, but and the honest truth of the matter is, she wasn't hard up for a date. She had a lot of dates, a lot of them. What do you mean? Yep. You don't know. You don't know. You were. Yep. Right, you got to work on the time to say something, Brother Tom. Man. Okay, so I know their names. They're all jerks. All of them. They're all jerks. Yeah, truth of the matter is, some of the guys that dated her. I mean, they were some of the well-known, popular, big dogs on campus. And I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. I'm telling the truth. And to think that she would choose me, you know, man alive, you know what that did to my heart? And still does. Overwhelms me. And look, folks, you and I are created in the image of God. Now, when it pleases you and me that somebody would choose us, okay, for Joshua to stand and say, you got all these choices, but mine's made. And I choose him. What do you think that did to God's heart? You see, folks, this was the whole purpose behind the one command that God gave Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. You ever heard somebody ask the question, you know, well, why did God place that one tree in the Garden of Eden? And then say, don't eat of it. Why didn't God just leave it out? Because that one tree that they were told not to eat from gave them a choice. It gave them an opportunity to exercise their free will and say, I choose to serve God. I choose to obey God. with a choice, there was at least one alternative. At least Adam and Eve have one alternative. They could say no to that tree. Every day they went without eating from that tree was a choice to obey. A choice from the heart. A choice for God. Look, folks, if there had not been that one tree, there would have been no alternative. No choice has to be made. No choice means it's robotic. No choice means it's automatic. No choice means it's computerized. No choice means it's mechanical. Choice is alternative. I get to choose whether I will obey God, serve God, or not. And that's why God put that tree in the Garden of Eden. It was a matter of Adam's thought and feelings and will and heart saying, I will obey. Let me ask you, who is your heart set on serving? Because you have choices. Who's your heart set on serving? Have you chosen to serve God? And do you realize how pleased God is when we choose to serve Him? You realize how pleased He is. You say, well, I don't know. I can't figure that. Well, let me ask you a question. Parents, how much does it please you to have your teenager choose to obey you? Especially when they are not, you know, 5, 6, and 7. In that little mechanical era. Yes, Mommy. Yes, Daddy. But now they're 15, 16, and 17. And, you know, they're growing up to be young adults. And maybe the occasion comes or the time comes when they're not underneath Mom and Dad's constant watch. And you find out that they made a choice to honor you and serve you and obey you. How does that make you feel? It makes you feel real good, doesn't it? Your heart goes, man, that's wonderful. We're made in the image of God. That's how God feels when you and I make choices to serve Him and obey Him. God is very pleased. Remember Ruth down in Moab with Naomi? Remember that situation down there? Remember that? When, you know, they're there for a few years and Naomi's husband Elimelech dies and then Mahlon's and Chilion's, the boys, they die. And Naomi is left with Ruth and Orpah. Remember that? And now Naomi's going to go back to Bethlehem, Judah, because she hears that there's bread there. And so she says to the girls, these Moabite girls, she said, why don't you girls, said, look, your husbands are gone. I don't have another boy. And if I was to give birth to a boy today, it would be a long time before the boy would grow up and you would marry him. Why don't you just go back to your people and go back to your gods? I'm going to Bethlehem, Judah. You stay here. Remember that? And Orpah said, okay. And she went back to her people and back to her gods. But not Ruth. Remember what she said? She said, whither thou goest, I will go. What was that? That was choice. That was heart. Whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. That was heart. Thy people shall be my people. That was heart. Thy God, my God. That was heart. Where thou diest, will I die. That was her heart. And there will I be buried. That was Ruth's heart on display. Let me ask you a question. When she said, thy God, my God. You said, boy, I bet Naomi felt good. How about beyond Naomi? How do you think God felt? When this heathen Moabite girl turned her back on all the false gods of her family and all of her history, and she said, I'm going to serve your God, the true God. Yes, Naomi had to be happy, but I'll tell you, somebody far beyond Naomi, God Himself was happy. God Himself was pleased, friend, because when you and I make choices to serve God, it makes Him happy. Listen, with your heart choose to obey, with your heart choose to follow, with your heart choose to serve, with your heart choose to die with God. Every day of our lives, with our hearts, let's choose God. Let's turn our backs on the alternatives that are out there and serve and worship and obey and honor and do that for God. I want to tell you something, He'll be very happy. Your presence here this morning is pleasing to Him. Unless somebody just had to drag you here. Somebody said to me this morning, I hope you're not here because you have to be. I kind of have to be as the pastor. I mean, if I called this morning and said, hey, fellas, I'm out having a round of golf. Y'all covered the services. That probably wouldn't go very far, okay? But you know what? I don't have to be here. I get to be here. If I wasn't here in church, I'd be somewhere else in church. I'll tell you that much. And I'd be going to the church because I've already made my choice. I'm going to serve God. And when you make choices to serve God, that pleases Him. Especially when there's alternatives. No. Yes. That's what that lady did out there. No. Yes. And that pleased me. And that pleases God when you serve Him. A choice means there's an alternative. And when Joshua chose God, it pleased God. Now, I'm going to finish with this. Listen carefully this morning. Number three, there really is only one good choice. There really is only one good choice. There were alternatives. Let me ask you a question. How good were they? They weren't very good at all. Let me ask you a question. How did the gods of the Egyptians do when they tried to take on the God of Israel? God proved Himself to be far superior to those gods. And in the land of Canaan, God had shown Himself to be superior to the gods of the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. In fact, let's jump ahead for a few years now, several years. And by now the children of Israel have started backpedaling on God, and they are starting to adopt the worship of all the idols from the people around them. And they got in a mess. And they came running to God. Bail us out! Bail us out! You know what God said? Go pray to those gods you've been worshiping. Go pray to those gods. You know all those idols you've been serving? Go pray to them. You need help? Get it from them. Their goose was cooked. Because the one true God is the only good choice. The only right choice. What other real good choice was there beside God? None. What other right choice was there? None. And I want to say to all the young people here this morning, college age and down, college age through teenager, through young teenager, junior high, elementary school, primary school, little boys and girls in the auditorium this morning, say to every child in this room under college age and under, there's still only one good choice and only one right choice. And that's the Lord God of Israel. That's the God of heaven, Jehovah God. He is the only good choice in life. You can go ahead and you can give yourself to serve all kinds of gods, little g gods, and idol this and idol that, and worship this and serve that, and find all these other little gods to worship, but you're going to end up in a mess. There's still only one good choice. And His name is Jehovah God. Do you remember over there in the Gospel of John? Don't turn to it. The Bible says that Jesus watched as many of His followers, His disciples, turned away and walked no more with Him. Remember that? John 6. And Jesus turned to the 12 and He asked a question. He said, will ye also go away? You're going to leave too? Will ye also go away? And Simon Peter... No surprise, right? Simon Peter speaks up and he answers Jesus with a question of his own. I love it. Lord, to whom shall we go? Where are we going to go? Where are you going to go? Where are you young people going to go? Where are you going to go, young people? Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? Tell me where you're going. If you're not going to serve Him and walk with Him and obey Him and love Him and honor Him, then where are you going? Where are you going? You come up with any answer you want. It won't be the best choice. Where are you going, guys? Where are you going? So I'm not going to make a choice. You have to make a choice. You have to. Everybody does. By not making one, by default, you make one. Now, where are you going to go? That's a fair question. Where are you going to go? I love that statement. Love that question. Lord, to whom shall we go? Where else are we going? There is nowhere else to go. Hey guys, where are you going? And we can ask the same question to those of us adults in this room. Where are you going? I'm talking about who you're going to serve. Who better than God? Who loves you more than God? Who cares for you more than God? Who has your best interest in mind more than God? Huh? What a fantastic statement. Simon Peter, for once, he comes through. Amen? He didn't come through when he said, Lord, you're not going to the cross. No, he didn't come through. Jesus had to say, get you behind me. Get behind me. He didn't come through when he said, Lord, let's fail on this mountain and build 3 tabernacles. But this time he came through. What a great question. And then he answered his own question with this statement, thou hast the words of eternal life. You know what Peter was saying? Jesus, there's only one real choice. There's only one good choice, and it's you. We're not going anywhere. Nowhere. The heart that pleases God. Folks, you say, I don't see the word heart in Joshua 24, 14 and 15, but heart is all over it. Because Joshua thought it out, his emotions played into it, and the exercise of his will. I choose God. There are other alternatives, but I choose you. And that made God's heart happy, and that really was the only one good choice. Same is true today, friend. Did you serve God yesterday? Did you honor God yesterday? Did you honor God on Thursday? Did you honor God and serve God on Tuesday? Did you honor God last Saturday? Did you honor every day you and I serve Him and obey Him? It makes Him happy. It's a choice of the heart, the will, the heart that pleases God. Say this and we're done this morning. I like what Peter told Jesus. He said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And friend, you can go all over this world in search of how to know for sure that you'll end up in heaven someday. But there's only one way. There's only one way. Anybody ends up in heaven. And that's through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's what Peter was saying. They have nowhere else to go. If you're not sure that heaven is your home, I would invite you to come to Christ this morning and be saved. If you're a saved, born-again Christian, I would ask you, I would challenge you and exhort you, get up every day that God gives you life, breath, and health and say, today, I'm going to serve Him. That's my choice today. But I'll just make it once. It has to be made over and over and over again. I'm going to serve Him. Thank you for listening. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I appreciate it this morning. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, just if you would give me your attention just carefully for a moment, let me ask you a couple of questions. I wonder who's here this morning would say, Pastor, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart a moment ago. He was kind enough to come by my seat. He was kind enough to come by my heart during this message. And He spoke to me. And now I'd like to indicate that He spoke to me. God spoke to my heart one way or the other in the message. Pray for me when you close out the service this morning. Would you just slip your hand up in the air this morning? You're going to serve somebody. There's somebody you're going to serve. God bless you. Amen. Thank you. But take your hands down. Are you serving God with your life? Are you making that choice every day that you live? Every day God gives you life, breath, and health. Today I'm going to serve God. Oh, there are alternatives, and a lot of times that alternative is ourselves. Ourself. But choose to serve God. Where else are you going to go? Where else are you going to go? Pray for me, Pastor, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart this morning. Maybe be more conscious of my choice to serve God with my heart. Yes, I see your hand. Somebody else this morning, I'll pray for you. Lift it up before I pray. Thank you. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Is there somebody here that would say, Brother Angel, I don't know for sure if I died right now that I'd go to heaven. I have no assurance that heaven is my home. If you were to ask me where I would spend eternity, I could not say for certain that it would be heaven. And that's me. I don't know where I'm going when I die. Would you raise your hand, please, let me pray for you this morning. Just slip it up, put it right back down. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anybody here, front to back, side to side, member or visitor? I'll pray for you. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, I've been saved, but I've not been baptized since I've been saved. I got saved, but I haven't been baptized in deep water since I've been saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that here this morning? I've been saved, but not baptized. God bless you. If you want to obey the Lord and follow Him in believer's baptism this morning, we are ready. You can come right now. They can tell you about it, help get you ready. Or if you have a question about it, you can talk to the person beside of you there. I know that they'll help you. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for Joshua and his verbalizing his heart when he said, I'm going to serve God. And I pray, Lord, that all of us, every day that we live, with life, breath, and health, we'd make that choice to serve you. There are alternatives. And I know, Lord, when we choose to serve you, it pleases you. And God, really, who else are we going to serve? You're the only true God. Where else are we going to go? Help us this morning. Help us to live for you. Work on our hearts. If you spoke to us, God, help us to respond. And, Lord, to obey you, serve you, and honor you with our lives, please. In Jesus' name.